Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two!
Gilmore on a big step!
Oh,
brother! Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead!
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I am Jason Mann, and with me as usual is Rich Kreich. Rich, we're here.
It's over.
But
then over is not the good, because that makes it seem like I want it to be over.
Yeah.
And not that I don't, but yeah, what's the best way to say? We've reached the end, and it's a good thing.
Yes.
I'm happy, but I'm also sad. What's the word? I don't know.
Are we melancholy about it? Are we?
Maybe. Yeah. Like a bit like jaded. Yeah. I don't know. No, not jaded.
I don't know.
It's kind of in between. It's good. I'm glad it's over, but I'm like, oh, now what do I do? What do I do with my life now? What else are we going to talk about?
We'll think of things, you know.
We've reached the peak. We're over. There's no more basketball history to do. We've done it. It's all done. It's over.
So this is our final episode. Right. We've reached the, not of the podcast ever.
The literal end of basketball history. Yes. Today.
Our top 50, revealing our choices for our top 50. We've been doing this all season. For those who are just joining us now, I can't imagine why you just be joining us now. But if you are, we've been talking about the original greatest 50 players and then talking about modern or overlooked candidates and their their strengths and weaknesses, their cases, and we finally reached our conclusion. I think we have a pretty good list. We'll see. We're hoping to get some interaction from this. We have a hashtag on Twitter, OB50. Hashtag. If you are listening to this and you want to tweet along or you want to share some thoughts afterward, you can also go to our Facebook page at Over and Back NBA, and you can leave comments there. We also have overandbacknba.com, our forums, where you could, there'll be a post there where you can give feedback. It'll be in a pretty obvious place under our top 50 section. So any of those places are good. And if we get enough, we might do sort of just a reaction, final thoughts show on our top 50. But we'll see how that goes. So I hope, we would love to hear from people, obviously, and we'll get into arguments if you want to. Hopefully they'll be nice ones. But I don't think we're going to be super contentious. There'll be probably a few things that people see. But I do think that we did as good of a job as we could, thinking about it from a lot of different angles and of making the best cases that we could with the evidence that we had and in the sort of the time frame and the limitations that we had. I think, I feel good about our process, and I think the results, speak for themselves.
Right. Yeah. There's a few things we'll get to those. And there's some few things that, when it's all said and done, when you look at the list and, break it down by, decades and stuff, there's some things where, and we'll talk about one era. The 70s is one that, possibly we might have missed, some here and there. But I think, position wise, you broke it down and it's actually remarkably pretty even, which is crazy. And decades, we do pretty solid, I think, decade wise. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But yeah, by and large, I mean, it took a lot of sort of figuring out these last little pieces, which I assumed it was going to be. I mean, we had our 43 pretty well set, and then it was those last seven where we had the show that you guys probably just listened to, just recently listened to, where we kind of did our arguments for the last seven or whatever. It still took a little while to kind of figure out, hey, who are we going to sort of compromise on and how are we going to do that last seven? But I'm very happy with our list too. I think it's solid, and I think it's very well rounded, and I think, in a lot of ways, we had to take some guys off from the original list or whatever, but I think we represented pretty much all eras of basketball and at least all, you know, generations of basketball pretty well in my mind.
Yeah, I think there's a good balance, and we were certainly, I think we were keeping that in mind as we were making our choices, but it wasn't like we sat down and said, okay, we need to fill these quotas. And
right, there wasn't like a Google Doc. We're like, all right, well, we have too many people from the 80s, so someone's got to go. We hit our 10 in the 80s, like we're done there. No, like we kind of just did it freehand. I mean, all we had was kind of a list, so to have it be as remarkably kind of consistent over eras and positions is pretty good. I mean, I like, yeah, like you said, I never thought of that at any point of like, we already have like six power forwards. We can't have this one or whatever. Like there were times where we talked about, hey, this guy is, you know, a top five shooting guard and, you know, presumably you could put him on this sort of list or he's a top five, you know, power forward or whatever. But I think we always try to look at it in the general scope of you know, their entire contribution to the game, not necessarily what position they play, but then to come out, you know, the way we did is remarkable. It's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. So, so we'll go through the guys that were on the official greatest NBA players list that we took off of our list, just for a reference. We'll talk about a few of these guys a little bit as we, you know, get into the new players on our list, but we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. So, and go ahead.
I will tell people, not to interrupt you, but one thing, if you're just jumping in now, and I know we have a bunch of new followers as a result of something that was really awesome on the on Reddit, it's Adam Mares. I think it's Mares is yep. how you pronounce it. Did his NBA PhD thing. He did it last year. It's essentially just a big, long list of like Twitter accounts to follow and cool people in basketball or whatever. It's really, really cool. It's a great resource. And it helped us build kind of our, you know, follower base when we started off or whatever. But he this year put us in year two. We are in the basketball history bracket. It's Curtis Harris, you, me, and the show account, which is, I kind of felt like they should put Curtis in his own little thing and then make a special thing for us. Like, oh, yeah, there's also this Over in the Back podcast thing, which is pretty cool. But still, that's really awesome. I know we've seen, you know, a number of followers jump in and on. So one thing I was going to tell you, though, is this: if this is your first show, you're just jumping into this project, I would definitely recommend, if you don't want to go back through all the shows, because we did a lot, and if you're like, oh, geez, that's overwhelming, maybe like pick and choose guys you want, but definitely listen to that intro show we did with Curtis. I think that gives you a good idea, A, the history of the original list, and a little bit about us discussing those people on the original list. So it's our first few shows. I would definitely recommend if you're just jumping in right now. But other than that, listen to all of them is what you really should do. But, you know, if you have finite amount of time, yeah, then, you know, those are the ones I would recommend.
And if, you know, one nice thing about our podcast is, like, you know, you don't have to listen to it right away. Like, you can listen to it for a year from now. It's going to be right about as valid as it is right now. So if you're, you know, just want to save those episodes and get to it next summer or what have you, if the, you know, too many NBA podcasts as the season is starting, we understand. So, so I guess we'll get into it. So the players that were removed from the original list are, in alphabetical order, Tiny Archibald, Dave DeBuscher, Dave Bing, Dave Cowens, a lot of Daves there, Hal Greer, Elvin Hayes, Jerry Lucas, Pete Maravich, Earl Monroe, Robert Parrish, Willis Reed, Nate Thurmond, Bill Walton, Lenny Wilkins, and James Worthy. Any of those guys that you particularly feel like, ooh, you know, maybe, you know, you know, like you feel particularly bad about not including on our list?
Yeah, I think a few of the names that come out, you know, to my mind right away, James Worthy is one that I think a lot of people will sort of, when you say that, they're going to kind of look at. I think we did our due diligence on Worthy, and I think he's a great, great, great player. But I mean, when we're doing a top five, you know, or top 50 list or whatever, there are going to be guys like that. And he's one that I think, you know, I think we did a good job of looking at him and saying, like, look, he was very, very good. But for the purposes of this list, you know, he might be on the outside looking in. So I could see him causing a lot of issues. Robert Parrish is one, too, that was kind of interesting. I know when we were doing the show about him, or at least a little segment about him, he was one that really, he was weird because he's got so much longevity and he's got so many things and he just seems like an important player in history. But it just seemed like he didn't quite fit.
The peaks probably either, weren't high enough for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was things there, but it wasn't. The case, I don't think the resume was great. The other two that come to my mind right away, Elvin Hayes and Hal Greer as well, are ones where it's like, ah, like Hal Greer especially, I know I'm a little weary on, and Elvin Hayes as well. And that could just be me also, you know, the bias of, you know, when I was born and the era I look at or whatever. But he's one that I could see a few people kind of going like, nah, those guys should definitely. Maybe Hal Greer even a little bit more than Elvin Hayes, but Those at least are the four that jumped out to my mind right away.
Yeah, Hayes, I think, with the longevity, that's one where,
sure,
you know, and he was pretty much a superstar of his era. Then the advanced stats really didn't like him a lot, and he just kind of got knocked behind, you know, a bunch of guys. And I think really there's a, you know, there's quite a few guys in the, you know, in the last 20 years who have played who've just kind of surpassed him and, you know, kind of had a similar role to, that he did. So I think he was kind of the victim of that. I think Willis Reed and Dave Cowens, you know, both guys won MVPs, but both guys had were very good for a few years, but had relatively short careers, which I think is kind of the way that we reason we knocked them off. And I think the '70s were definitely the decade that was hurt the most by, what we did kind of editing our list. But, you know, for whatever reason, that's just kind of the way that it fell, for better or for worse. So
I know Maravich is going to be one as well that people will probably.
Yeah.
Though they shouldn't, because if you really look at Maravich, but
yeah,
he's going to be one that people that don't really aren't as statistically minded or whatever, haven't read a lot of the. That's going to be an initial one where people are going to go like, oh my God, it's got to be. You have to put Pete Maravich in there. And it's like, nah, if you really do your due diligence and really look at him, not really. But he's one where I'm sure we're going to get people that are going to tweet
it. Yeah, I think we'll bring him up again in just a little bit with one of the guys that we did pick and maybe some of the differences between those two, because I think there's interesting parallels between those two. So so going through the new list, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, probably the greatest career of all time in the NBA, if not, certainly one of the greatest players, but just the longevity and all that just was completely awesome. Paul Arizin, the forward for the Warriors in the 1950s, one of the great players of his day, still really stands up pretty well for what he achieved, and even his career was shortened because of a couple years in the Marines, I believe, so military service. So, could have even been greater, but was certainly a great player. Charles Barkley is number 3, Rick Barry, number 4, Elgin Baylor, number 5, Larry Bird, number 6, and then our first new entry on this list, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, a no-brainer. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be shocked if any. I mean, you can't really argue.
No,
well, I mean that's
unless you really staunchly hate Kobe. Sure.
And I don't really like him.
So. Yeah, I'm a fair player, but
I probably staunchly hate him. But still, I mean, come on, that's just you can't.
Yeah, by any standard, he's one of the greatest shooting guards of all time. Definitely no brainer for this list. I mean, which we even said, we didn't even do an individual episode because it was so clear for him. So number 8, Wilt Chamberlain. Number 9, Bob Cousy, who was somebody we, wrestled with a little bit. The numbers weren't quite there, but we just thought the influence and just the honors that he had during his career. I mean, he had like 10, first team All-NBA.
Yeah, the hardware was insane. Yeah. Like of his time, I mean, you can look at advanced stats and look at, his effective field goal percentage and all that sort of stuff. And, well, I think that's important to look at. I mean, you look at a guy who his peers just thought so, so highly of him. He was such a big, impactful player for his era and just had so much influence on the game as well. So yeah, it'd be crazy not to have a list, had this list without him. So,
and it's kind of the difference between him and Maravich a little bit. Maravich is kind of I think of them kind of similar because of the flashy ball handling and some of the skills that they had. Obviously Maravich is more of a scorer, but I think just Cousy, Maravich wasn't honored in his era the same way that Cousy was. I mean, it's not even close. So,
right.
And Maravich never really won either. And Cousy, obviously, one of the great winners of all time. So, number 10, Clyde Drexler. Number 11, new entry on our list, Kevin Durant. And I think the only knock against him is maybe he didn't quite have enough. I know you were kind of wrestling with that. I was pretty comfortable, but is anything that kind of cinched you at the end for him?
Not really. I mean, there was a few things. I mean, I always wrestle with that idea of putting a guy in before they've sort of finished their career and that sort of stuff. And that's not to say that, anything that he could do. It for me, I just have this weird thing with putting guys in. I feel like it's more disingenuous. I just like kind of putting guys in once they've sort of played out their career, or at least reached their peak, I think, or, it's they've reached their pinnacle in the game. We've seen all they can really do. I mean, there's guys that can add stuff, and we'll talk about a guy here in a little bit who, might have a few more years in the league, but it's like, okay, well, there's nothing more he could really do that would make him, a no doubter here. But Kevin Durant, I mean, when you really look at it, I mean, that he absolutely is. I mean, at this point of his career, you asked the question, I think, and I know you guys asked this to me, is, if he retired tomorrow, would you put him in this list? And he would. And when you sort of think about that and you go, oh, okay, why am I being, I'm overthinking this. Just, yeah, Kevin Durant, he's great. He's awesome. He's already setting records and he's, not even close to his 30s yet. So, no, he's absolutely there.
Yeah. I mean, agreed for me, obviously. And but it is interesting. I think he's probably only person on this list who probably can still reach greater heights than he's ever reached in career.
I always feel weird about voting guys in like that, but he really has already set the standard in a lot of ways. But I mean, like, I just feel like it'd be cooler or like better. I'd feel better about it if in like 5 years we're like, oh yeah, remember he led the Thunder to a title and won 3 MVP, sure. Something like that would feel better, where we don't have all of that yet. and it kind of feels weird, but we're going to have, I mean, something, we're going to get good stuff coming soon. So it's fine. I mean, I don't think if he has like a horrible injury and never plays again, I still think we're okay putting, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like if we put Penny Hardaway on that 96 list and we're like, ooh, sorry. Like, we didn't know, like, it you know, so I'm fine with
yeah,
that.
Sure. Next is also a new entry in the list, number 12, Tim Duncan. And obviously, you know, maybe arguably the best resume of anybody since the original list in the last 20 years. I mean, it's him or LeBron. You know, I guess there are probably people who might say Kobe, but I think that you know, Duncan's resume is stronger than Kobe's, especially with Duncan's, you know, last 3 years where Kobe has, you know, unfortunately dealt with the injuries.
Yeah, and Duncan's a guy as well that I actually was just mentioning before with Durant, where we've sort of seen his highest highs, but he's still got a few more years to kick, you know, go, and he's still really good, too. So
yeah, that's true.
It's just an amazing career, but he's another no-doubter. I mean, we didn't have a show about him. We didn't really talk about him because it's like, come on. You know, what's the point? No one would argue that in the world that Tim Duncan doesn't belong on this list. So sure. Absolutely no-doubter.
Number 13, Julius Erving. Number 14, Patrick Ewing. Who we'd wrestled with a little bit, just kind of where he placed among, you know, the great centers of all time, and he made it. He was, I think, a little bit more toward the end of it, but still, you know, excellent career. You know, where he kind of fit along with, you know, guys like Bob Lanier and guys like that was just kind of the question. It's hard to weigh, but I think he had enough longevity, had enough, you know, led enough very good teams, you know. A stout defender, all that good stuff. You know,
yeah.
Was able to make.
Oh, and the influence thing speaks for himself too. I think in a lot of ways, you know, if you need that extra little jump for him, the influence is absolutely there. I mean, he's an iconic player. You know, and not just his ABA stuff too. It also a little bit of his NBA. Of course, the ABA stuff helps. And we, as we mentioned, we're sort of wrestling with that of sort of adding it in, you know, cautiously, not maybe going, you know, one for one on ABA and NBA stuff. But like the influence argument for me for Erving is fantastic.
Oh,
if you need that extra little push with him, you got that too.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely, no question. Yeah, and then 14, Patrick Ewing, who, you know, had a strong case, was one of our kind of our last guys in there, but definitely deserving. 15, Walt Frazier, a great point guard for the Knicks and a colorful character, of course. I think kind of underrated when it comes to the, you know, top notch point guards. I mean, I think he's right in that category, not quite with Magic and Oscar, but right next, you know, in that category. I mean, he
does seem kind of lost, which is shocking considering, you know, where he played and all that sort of stuff, yeah. But he does kind of get lost in those conversations, which is odd. Cause you really, and like when we did, you know, our talk about him or whatever, I mean, you look at his, the numbers are great. The influence stuff is great. The success is great. You know, and it appears like he's got a great, great resume. And it's, you're right. He should get talked about as one of the best point guards of all time. He doesn't seem like he does. He's not in that upper echelon. And there's a good argument that he should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then number 16, another new entry, Kevin Garnett. And I don't know, not much to say about KG. I mean, obviously a tremendous force on both sides of the ball, has had a great long career. At his peak, you know, had a couple of just, you know, of the most amazing individual seasons of almost any player in history. Yeah, I think 04 in particular, it was just a monster. And, you know, it pretty much checks every box. There's not really, you know, any problem there.
Yeah, I could see maybe somebody bringing some issue or something, but there I doubt it. I mean, he's pretty much a no doubter for me.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would argue that he should be on.
I would hope not. They'd be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
If they had a real big bias over like recent history or whatever, but I mean, man, you look at a guy from like 95 until basically, what do you want to say, about a year ago? I mean, he's really fallen now. Maybe about two years ago, 95 to about 2 years ago. I mean, this guy was just a killer.
Oh, absolutely.
And like you said, those mid 2000s, his MVP year in particular, and what he was able to do with Boston and transforming that team immediately into a title contender, you know, as being the best player on that team. I mean, yeah, he's a no doubt.
Absolutely. So, number 17. Now, I think this one might be the most contentious of any guys that we pick, but, Pau Gasol.
Yeah, I argued it. That was my big argument, but
yeah. And, but you compare him to some of the men that we left off, you know, Alvin Hayes and Dave Cowens and Reed and even Bob Lanier, who we strongly considered but ultimately did not make the list. And I do think, like, you know, the peaks for him are actually pretty, you know, are on a similar level to those guys. And, you know, he was the, you know, second best player on two championship teams, made three finals. You know, it has similar resumes in terms of like winning championships and importance of role as, you know, those other guys, particularly Cowan Reed, has better longevity. His peak seasons are, you know, at a similar level. It's difficult to kind of compare because they're different eras. And yeah. And Powell was never really a first team all NBA and not certainly not an MVP candidate. But So I still have kind of wrestled with it a little bit, but I think he's a good choice.
Yep, I do too. So we'll, you're right. He probably will be one that a lot of people question. That'll be fun. It'll be good to look at the arguments. Maybe we'll have a camp. We'll have camps form the pro Gasol and the anti Gasol. But we'll see. He is definitely a one that sort of sticks out. But I think once you really look at the resume and compare it and of course, you know, listen to our argument show and that sort of stuff, you'll at least see the case for him in a little way. But
so as a reminder for anyone who is interested in, you can use the hashtag OB50. Yep. For if you want to tweet us or just tweet the hashtag, we'll see it. Also over and back NBA.com if you want to check out our forums where you can leave comments as well, either on there's a thread for Powell and there's a thread for top 50 in general. Either way, just leave what you want and we'd be interested in feedback on that or anything related to the project or anything related to the podcast or anything related to NBA history. We're open to basically anything. So next, 18, George Gervin, really the case for him is scoring, but it's just so good that, we left him on without too much reservation. Number 19, another newcomer, although overlooked initially, we feel Artis Gilmore. I mean, just he really did have an amazing 70s and a very good 80s too, you know, for, you know, it had good longevity, incredible rebounder, incredible force, great shot blocker. We just oddly overlooked on the initial team. I think definitely should have been there and I just really strong case to be on this list. And, you know, I feel good that he's there.
Yeah, certainly. I know if you listen to our episode about him, or at least the parts where we sort of talked about him, is one of the big things we wrestled with is, of course, the ABA numbers and what we do with that. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to count the ABA numbers as if they're NBA numbers, like they're sort of. But you look at a guy like that, and even if you have his ABA numbers, if you just want to do some arbitrary like that, they're still spectacular. I mean, it's just so, so good. And you talk about one of the most efficient, best scores around the basket. You know, the shooting percentage was fantastic. And like you said, I think the point is that he didn't just come out of the ABA, jump in the NBA, have like one or two good years and then blow away or whatever. I mean, this guy was still pretty damn good until he was just almost until he left the league, even the rigor mortis, you know, Chicago Bulls era Artis Gilmore could still score and rebound over you. He just, you know, was very, very slow. Like it took a little while for him to get to the other side of the court, but still like he never lost those skills. And he had those until, you know, what, the, you know, 1983 or 84, 85. I mean, there's a lot there to like with Artis Gilmore. I'm very, very happy with him on the list. And I would be shocked if anybody argued. And if they do, that's fine. But go look at his numbers. And I think you'll see the case for him is definitely there. I mean, Artis is a guy who belongs for sure.
Yeah. Number 20, John Havlicek, one of the great defenders and swingmen of his era, 8 championships. I think you had some questions kind of with him early, but mm-hmm. with the incredible defense and just, you know, kind of the, I mean, even though some of the efficiency wasn't quite there, but just the longevity was great, and he was an elite player for long enough that we felt good about having him in.
The longevity is huge for him, and that definitely put him over the top for me.
Yeah. Number 21, man, I don't know, maybe some controversy, maybe not, Allen Iverson. And, for him, not a lot of longevity, stronger, not a lot of longevity for his era, but for overall NBA longevity, it was okay.
Yeah.
And
it took a while for him to get going. I mean, when you talk about like peak longevity, maybe then you could sort of make an argument because we're talking maybe, you know, 99 until, you know, 2004 and even 2004. I mean, he was already starting to fall down a little bit, maybe 2004, 5, 6, somewhere in that range.
He had some pretty strong years in Denver through like 06, 07. So I think he was.
Yeah, okay, I'll go 06. Yeah, 07. I think that's fine.
Like 8 or 9 years where he was, you know, a top tier player, which is, you know, which isn't bad. You know, a lot of it's influence and a lot of it is style and a lot of it is just, you know, he's kind of indispensable to the era to an extent. I think for him, you know, he's a guy where, like, I think people might make the argument, well, if Iverson's on here, then, you know, Maravich has a good argument because, you know, because Iverson's advanced stats and some of his numbers aren't that strong. But I do think that there's more evidence that what Iverson did, you know, was more conducive to winning than what Maravich did, you know, given they had different contests, they had different teammates. But, you know, Maravich was on some pretty – had some talent on his teams and couldn't do much with it, where Iverson, you know, took teams that didn't outwardly necessarily have talent but were well-designed and were able to kind of build around him. And I think there's more evidence that he carried his teams to success than there is for Maravich, despite, you know, Agreed. The individual brilliance for Maravich.
Yeah, I'm 100% down.
Yeah. So number 22, Sam Jones, 10 rings with the Celtics, great clutch shooter, really good advanced stats. The thing with him was didn't play a lot of minutes, but I think we decided that, you know, he was just such an important contributor to those teams that we felt good about him. 23, Magic Johnson, not too much argument against that. 24, Michael Jordan, also pretty good. 25, another guy who's pretty good, new on the list, LeBron James. So
that's a good little run that we've had, though. Those last three guys are like top five all-time players. Yeah, that's pretty good. Right. Yeah, top 10.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Yeah, but maybe top five. I mean, we're not ranking them, thank goodness.
I don't want to do that. No, then someone's going to be like, you thought LeBron's top five. Yeah. No, no, no. You know, I'd right. stay away from that. I did not say that. I said top 10 if you want to. Okay, yeah. But that's going to still. What do you mean LeBron's top 10?
I don't know. At this point, I think pretty much.
I think it is, too. But if I said top 50, right, we're still going to get people that are like, I don't know. He really, I mean, he hasn't won a lot yet. Are any of those people still left, or they've basically been?
I don't think, they wouldn't listen to our show if that were the case.
That's true. You're right.
Number 26, another newcomer, Jason Kidd. And, you know, he really great long career as a great, point guard. Really one of the top tier point guards of both the 90s and the 2000s. I mean, that longevity is really great. Was able to kind of turn around some teams and direct some offense, and one of the best defensive point guards of all time, just, you know, wrist on case. So it wasn't too hard once we really looked at it, even though a lot of great guard, particularly point guard candidates, that was kind of a hard one to sift through a little bit.
The thing I really like about Jason Kidd is the story he reinvented his career about halfway through. You know, you have the period at the beginning where he's still trying to kind of figure out how to become a point guard. You know, he had some attitude issues and stuff. Then you have, you know, the New Jersey, his big peak where he became a superstar or whatever. And then you just start to get him sort of floating around in there in a little while, still being great, and then going to Dallas and sort of changing a lot about what he was and, you know, turning them into a title contender and a title winner pretty immediately. And then, you know, it falls down pretty quick after that, but I think the longevity is just absolutely there. And we talk about a guy from essentially, you know, 1997, 98 or whatever until, you know, 2011, who was just one of the, if not the best point guard, you know, consistently in that era. So yeah, he's a no-brainer for me. Yeah.
Number 27, Karl Malone, one of the best power forwards of all time. Another guy with incredible longevity and just a great player. Number 28, Moses Malone, the Malones. Obviously, you know, one of the greatest rebounders of all time, had an incredible peak, won three MVPs. We did more in a recent episode right after he died, looking back at his career, which if anyone hasn't heard that, I recommend you check that out. Had a really good conversation with Curtis Harris and Matt Moore about his career. Number 20,
I believe it. Sorry. And that's one more thing about Malone that I thought was really good. And I was doing some research for the HB preview, which the HB NBA season preview, which is you can find right now. Just check on the internet. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on there. I'm sure we'll be linking it a lot on our Twitter account and also the Harvard Paroxysm Twitter account. But I actually was tasked with doing something about records, like all-time records and which ones can be broken, you know, this year, who's in, you know, who's in danger of getting their records broken or whatever. And so I did Moses Malone just to look at, because obviously, I mean, his offensive rebound numbers are just insane. They're like next level crazy. So I looked and I said, okay, who's next closest? Who's the next current guy that's close? And it's Tim Duncan is the next closest. All Tim Duncan has to do is average what he's averaging right now in offensive rebounds for 10 more years, and then he will be able to tie Moses Malone. So if in 2025, Tim Duncan, I think he'll be like 54 or something like that, keeps up his offensive rebounding pace, he could then maybe can tie Moses Malone, but until then, I believe Moses will have that.
There you go. Of course,
the rest of his life.
So. The only guy who I think could last long enough to actually maybe do that would be Tim Duncan.
I think Tim Duncan, yeah, he could be like, how many more years? Six? Yeah, yeah, I could do
there
that.
You go.
Like in 4 years, they're like, oh, you know, you're only 6 years away from, but yeah, that he could, like a 54-year-old like Tim Duncan. Yeah.
Well, he'd be like 48. He'd be like 48 or 49, which is still obviously crazy, but a little bit less crazy.
I guess, yeah,
38
I guess so,
now,
right.
I think, so. Maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, you're right.
All right, I mean, he's still, it's not happening, but, you know, it's fun to imagine. So number 29, Kevin McHale, you know, great, obviously, second banana for the Celtics, but really an incredible second banana. I mean, and a guy who we think, you know, could have carried his team in certain situations, and, you know, just had a great peak, had a good longevity, just had a great career. Not a hard one there. Number 30, George Mikan, obviously the first NBA's first great superstar, won 5 out of 6 championships, was the greatest player of his era by far. Number 31, new on the list, Steve Nash. Of course, we've done a couple episodes. We did the individual player episode on Steve Nash. We also did a long form episode when Steve Nash retired. So we've covered him in depth. We don't need to go into it all again, but directed, you know, the best offense in the league for like 9 straight seasons. Just, you know, incredible the shooting and passing, just, out of this world. And another guy with out of this world shooting and passing, number 32, Chris Paul. Another guy, there might be some who might say it's maybe a little soon for him. And you know, there's going to be a little bit of the playoff success, I guess, or the lack of it on him. But I mean, he's just been an incredible player. He and Nash, I think, have similar cases. Nash, obviously, you know, his career's over. Paul still has things to do. But, just both.
Paul's had an insane career. Yes. I mean, you really, I think if you just sort of initially, if I told you, hey, Chris Paul's a top 50 player in NBA history, you kind of look at me like, I don't know about yet. But like, if you really, really go and look at him and look at how he ranks amongst point guards and in a number of different categories, a number of different stats, you can say, you know, maybe he doesn't pass the eye test immediately. But man, on a statistical front and an analytical front and that sort of stuff, I mean, he's just an absolute no-brainer, I think, for this. Like, he's just so good. And maybe doesn't get, you know, surprisingly doesn't get enough credit as being like, I don't know if people appreciate that they're watching an all-time great point guard, you know, when they're watching him. I don't know. Maybe the people do. I think in the moment we sort of think he's good, but I don't know if we really know how good he is quite yet. It might take him, you know, retiring or having that sort of, maybe it's that long playoff run, like you said, that makes it where people finally go, oh, Jesus, this guy's been really, really good for a really long time. Like he's really impressive. But yeah, I don't know if we're quite there yet, unfortunately, with him. But he belongs on this list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And another great point guard, number 33, Gary Payton.
Good little run of point guards here.
Yeah, exactly. And
Nash, Paul, and Payton. I like
right.
It.
And his peak was better than I remembered it being, and he really did. I mean, Sean Kemp was great, and Detlef Schrempf, and the Sonics had some good teams, but he was really the superstar of those teams. I mean, especially on defense. I mean, the way he and just directing the offense, and you know everything that he did. I mean, he definitely deserves to be on there. Had a good long career as an elite player, and then a few years as a role player, you know, obviously for Miami and such. So, he was a guy who I wasn't necessarily just – I was afraid the numbers game was going to get him, but he ended up actually making it pretty comfortably. And then number 34, another newcomer, 4 newcomers in a row, Dirk Nowitzki. We talked about him in an individual player episode. I mean, obviously helped reinvent, power forward position, and obviously the game is sort of designed around the skills that he showed in spacing the floor and, you know, pick and pop, just all that great stuff. And, fierce competitor, your favorite player, I believe.
Yeah, my favorite player of all time.
Yes, so
a guy who I've already bought my Bulls ticket to see him. Every time he comes, for the past like 3 years, I've been like, I gotta go every time Dallas comes to town because I don't know when it's gonna be the last.
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to.
So every single time I get there, we get there super early. Once I got an autograph with him, he was not very nice, but that's fine. Well, I think he was tired.
You know.
I'm not like an autograph guy usually, but I was like, it's Dirk. I gotta try.
Sure.
And like, yeah, he was fine, but
it was nice.
Very tall.
It was nice.
Very tall. Like you don't really. I was trying to tell people, like, if you've never met like an NBA player, like stood next to one, like at some point. you got to do it. Like, we're up on the rails or whatever. Like, it's like a ramp, you know, to get down to your seats or whatever. And he's able to sign autographs for people that are in, like, the 10th row. Like, it's just, like, it's insane, like, how tall these guys are. I know it's not breaking news or whatever, but, like, people don't understand, like, really what 7 feet is really like until you meet a 7-footer. It's crazy. But, yeah, no, he's just unbelievable. I mean, so much stuff there in terms of, you know, like you said, the stats are there. The influence is there. He's had, you know, MVPs, he's won a title, he's just had so much hardware, so much success, and just it just totally reinvented, like you said, the game, the position, and everything that comes with it. So yeah, he for me was a no doubter, you know, bias aside, but I think he absolutely deserves to be on this list.
Yes. Number 35, Shaquille O'Neal. Number
not a new entry.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
Oh, I said not a new entry.
Oh yeah, not a new entry. No, yeah.
No, a guy who shockingly was on the original list.
He was in the original list.
But they were right.
Like four seasons. But yeah, they were right to put him on. So good for them. Number 36, Hakeem Olajuwon, and not much controversy there. I guess the thing with him is that he was a little bit, the numbers wise is a little bit lower than some of the other big men that then kind of his reputation might be. I mean, he's still really, really good. I mean, he's still obviously easily on this list, but that was like the only thing kind of doing the research. I'm like, oh, you know, he's a little bit off of kind of what I expected based on like his reputation. I mean, I think there are people who think he's like a top 10 player of all time. And, you know, I'll make the case, it's fine, but it's, he's a little bit lower on the list of big men, at least production wise than you might think. You know, if
his numbers don't jump off as much as you sort of assume. You kind of go in thinking, oh, Hakeem Olajuwon, let's see where he ranks all time. And you're like, oh, 11th and 10th and like eighth. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, all right. Like, I kind of thought he'd be, you know, near the top, and he's just sort of, he's not. He's you know, again, he's top 10 or he's top 15 in most of the things, but you expect him to really be, you know, that top five, you know, all time, you know, big men. And he's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, he's,
or not yet. Not quite there. I don't think he's going to come back. No, he might. I think we've seen the last of Hakeem Olajuwon in an NBA court.
Yeah, and he obviously was terrific. He had so much grace and skill and all that. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe there are things the production doesn't measure, but that was just kind of a surprise coming out of that I wanted to mention. Number 37, Bob Pettit, a great 50s and 60s star for the St. Louis Hawks, led them to a championship, the franchise's only championship. And 38 might be a surprise to some people, but although we made a pretty good strong case for him on the Finer Argument show with Paul Pierce.
Yeah, I think the argument show is a great way to sort of, if you haven't heard that and you're like, Paul Pierce, though, you really look at this guy's stats and look at his numbers and look at where he ranks among small forwards at his position. And I think in his era, too, he's a guy who doesn't, you know, again, he's a guy who doesn't jump off the page initially when you think about, you know, you think of Paul Pierce as a good winner and a good, you know, clutch player and a guy who's, you know, a good small forward. But when you really look at where he ranks, you know, in terms of other small forwards, other guys in his era, you know, even break out the positions of his era, he's a guy who ranks remarkably well, and I think almost shockingly well. He was a guy I did not expect to have on my list, you know, when we initially started doing the research for this. But once you do it and look at it and look at his case and look at his resume, I mean, he's definitely a good candidate for this. I mean, people are going to question it, but I think if you look at him, I think you'll see why we put him here.
Yeah, and if you look at his peak 7 or 8 seasons, I mean, they stand tall with you know, the players that, you know, were be his contemporaries. I mean, you know, Kobe, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, you know, maybe they're not the best of those, but they certainly stand, you know, pretty tall among those. And like I said, I mean, the numbers are great, but beyond that, just the, you know, the stepping up in the big moments and, you know, just kind of the impact that he's had on the game. I think, you know, I see other side arguments of, you know, maybe somebody that might be left off that might be ahead of him, but I think he's deserving. I think he's a very good choice. So, number 39, Scottie Pippen. We've done a full episode on Scottie before, but obviously incredible versatility and incredible defense. You know, easy choice for the list. No question about it whatsoever. Number 40, Oscar Robertson, one of the greatest point guards of all time. Number 41, David Robinson, great big man, great defense, great, you know, pretty much everything. And we've discussed it before, but a guy who numbers wise is even more, if you haven't looked at, is even more impressive than you might remember.
Yeah, he doesn't get he gets a shockingly like underrated reputation, David Robinson. I don't know why. And we sort of talk about it I think at some points before, you know, he was too nice, or, you know, maybe he didn't, which is just weird because, like, you get people that are like, oh, he didn't have the it took Tim Duncan, of course, coming there, but yeah, he won a lot too, you know, later in life. And that's one of the things we figured out too is, hell, the Spurs were really damn good when he was there. Like, everybody sort of thinks like the Spurs were kind of like, they were okay and just all right. And then, you know, the Duncan came and then they became legendary. I mean, he was winning 50 games of that team almost on a consistent basis. Their only really bad year was the year he was out, and then, you know, that worked out pretty well for them. So, he's so good. I think, do yourself a favor and look at David Robinson's career and look at his numbers, and I think you'll be very, very impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then next, another guy maybe who people might, you know, not see on here, might have some arguments with, Dennis Rodman, number 42. You know, obviously the thing with Rodman is, you know, didn't have much offensive production, but, you know, as you talked about, just the greatness when it comes to defense and rebounding, just made it hard to not put him on this list.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, when those are two pillars of the game is, you know, being, you know, a good defender or being, you know, having good rebounders, and he's one of the best at both of those, I couldn't leave him off the list. I just couldn't. I mean, he's so much just a great rebounder, and you had the defense in there. It's just, to me, it's a little weird because, I mean, I think you said it was like 7.8 points per game or something like that is his career.
Yeah, it's
shockingly low compared to other people on our list, but still, I think when you look at those other numbers and you look at the whole resume, I mean, I think he's a guy who deserves to be there. So
absolutely. Speaking of a guy who deserves to be there, without much question, number 43, Bill Russell. Number 44, Dolph Schayes, another great star from the 50s, who you played for some really good Syracuse national teams, including the champion in, I believe, 55. Number 45, Bill Sharman, the shooting guard for the Boston Celtics, really helped kind of establish the shooting guard position. Also was a early pioneer when it came to conditioning, and another guy who really the advanced stats jump out as like a really big standard. Obviously was a really big winner, you know, being with those Celtics teams, so not a hard choice there either. He was kind of guy that we should have brought up a little bit in the Nate Duncan episode when we talked about Dwayne Wade, because I think he's another guy who's kind of in that in that category for one of the, you know, certainly top case for top five, top six shooting guard of all time. And number 46, John Stockton. Obviously assist leader of all time, you know, with Malone, you know, one of the great tandems, just, you know, great defense, great assist, great point guard overall. Number 47, Isaiah Thomas, who we talked about a lot in the final argument show, despite the lack of advanced stats, which I kind of just felt that, you know, giving him, you have to give him a lot of credit for, being able to kind of lead that Pistons team to championships, and just the difficult shots that he did, and the, you know, his overall production in scoring and passing, just, you know, made him deserving of the list.
Mm-hmm. Good longevity too. I think maybe an underrated longevity. I mean, yeah. Really, really good. You know, those Pistons teams didn't win right away, but he was pretty good almost from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah. I mean, the longevity is, I mean, we sort of forget that there was an era before the Bad Boys or whatever, where Isaiah was still pretty damn good too. Yes. So yeah, he definitely, I think everybody sort of assumes, or maybe not everybody, but you know what I mean? Like, you sort of think that the Pistons really got going, you know, and in a lot of ways they became a successful team, you know, once that Bad Boy thing happened, but he was there for quite a few years before that and was still very productive and a good part of that team.
On the rise, so. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, number 48, Wes Unseld, great Washington Bullets star of the 70s, and I mean another guy where the numbers don't quite pop off, but just all the other stuff, and you know, and he did win an MVP. He had, you know, a great rebounder. You know, another guy a little bit on the kind of the Rodman side, where maybe the number, you know, the production doesn't quite tell you everything, but just the, you know, he was on so many winning teams and was, you know, had so many great skills that, you know, deserves to be on this list. And number 49, our last newcomer, is Dwayne Wade. One of the top, you know, three or four shooting guards probably of all time. You know, another guy who might be able to write a little bit more of his career depending on how his health goes, but you know, definitely belongs, you know, three championships, and the best or second best player on those teams, just you know, incredible resume.
Yep, absolutely.
And our last and not least, number 50, Jerry West, the great Lakers star, Mr. Clutch, who led his teams to the finals so many times before finally breaking through the last time in 72 with one of the greatest single season teams of all time. You know, I don't know. He's the logo. You know,
yeah, he's a goddamn logo. Come
exactly.
on.
So, and you know, I checked. You referenced it earlier, but I sort of looked at the, like the positional balance of this list. Just give it a shot, and I kind of looked at what you know main position they played. Obviously, some guys play multiple positions, but we have 10 point guards, 9 shooting guards, 10 small forwards, 10 power forwards, and 11 centers. So that's you know almost 10 per position. So I think that's a fairly good balance. And like I said, we weren't thinking we were going to do that. It just happened to kind of work out that way.
Crazy. I mean, it's like a really, really good balance of without really trying at all. So that's I'll take that. That's pretty good.
And then I looked at I also looked at per decade. So you would get you get 1 point if your prime was pretty much in that decade, and then a half a point if you split two decades. So we have 5.5 in the 50s, 6.5 in the 60s, 7.5 in the 70s, 7.5 in the 80s, and then 10.5 in the 90s and 12.5 in the 2000s, which goes all the way to 2015. So that explains why that's a little bit higher. It is pretty heavy 90s and 2000s. I think that might be one thing that, you know, you could look at a list and wonder, you know, if we definitely made the right decisions there. I will say that, you know, obviously, you know, as the league has gotten bigger, there are more teams, there are more chances for more players to have more opportunities. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, you basically have like, you know, a league with 80 to 100 players. And now, of course, you have a league with, you know, 400 to 450 players.
Exactly. So, where you get guys like Sam Jones, who arguably probably, I mean, could have been a star on, you know, if you put Sam Jones in today's game, and that's a guy who could, you know, couldn't get more than 20, you know, 3 minutes with the Celtics or whatever, but you put him on, you know, the Sacramento Kings of, or, you know, today or whatever, and he's their top star, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, so it's just the difference of expansion and different players and that sort of stuff.
So I'm
sure there were guys that were just sitting on benches like, hey, I could really, really good, but whatever. Just never got the opportunities to really do it. Whereas now, pretty much anybody that's going to be great has the opportunity to be great.
It's easier to get that opportunity, absolutely. So I think that given that, given those facts, I think it does make some sense for us to have more players in the last 20, 30 years. I think that does make a degree of sense. And maybe it's a little bit unbalanced, but I think it's pretty close. I mean,
that could be our, you know, there's a few things that lead to that as well, in terms of, you know, our bias as well being, you know, our ages or whatever. That's the era we grew up with. So, you know, there's some guys we probably appreciate a little bit more. And I think also when because of this, we did a lot of advanced stats stuff. And more when you look at advanced stats, it definitely benefits the current guys. And the current guys, the stats are sort of made to sort of, I don't know exactly the way to say it, but if you look at these stats, they sort of, they value things that we value today in NBA. You know, like where a guy like a Bob Cousy or whatever, no one really cared that he was, you know, shooting, you know, miss, you know, 10 of his shots or whatever. You know what I mean? Whereas now we're so hyper-focused on, you know, efficiency and this sort of stuff, where it just wasn't that big of a deal then. We're now, so you get those stats where we're sort of making the stats for what we consider elite NBA players right now, and maybe that wasn't what was considered elite in the 60s or the 70s or the 50s, whatever. It wasn't things that they appreciated quite as much. I mean, baseball, you get that all the time with on-base percentage. Like, we look at guys right now with, like, all-time great on-base percentages or whatever, and, you know, guys didn't care about that back in the day. They didn't know what it was. Taking walks wasn't something they valued or whatever, and that's sort of how we looked at, you know, long twos and that sort of stuff are icky and weird for us, but back then, you know,
those obviously made sense in a game that didn't have three-pointers and in a game where, you know, the field goal percentage was different. And there's lots of difference there's a lot of, you know, perils of comparing among different eras, which I think we did a good job of. We certainly looked at the numbers, and that was a heavy part of our focus, but, you know, we looked at a lot of different things. We looked at, you know, what kind of their reputation at the time, you know, their all NBA numbers, you know, awards, team success. I mean, and that's, you know, that is an easy thing for Curtis Harris. I think he tweeted this, where it's like, it's pretty easy to make a list of 35, and it's pretty easy to make a list of like the top 70. But the top 50 is difficult.
It was hard.
And then that's sort of the thing. Like, you could kind of, I mean, obviously, like, the absolute super duper stars are going to stand out because of, you know, all those things are, they're basically going to be captured by all or almost all of the, you know, the team success, the individual numbers, the individual plaudits, and, you know, just what you can see based on your eye. I mean, all those things are going to stand out. There are, but there are, once you get past those, you know, tippy top guys, then it becomes a little bit harder, you know, just, I mean, you can obviously tell if somebody's good a lot of times, but you know, how good, how much what they do actually matters. Some of it is obviously captured by numbers. Some of it isn't. It's, you know, and I think we did a good job of like, of taking into consideration all those different facets of things and not just focusing on like, not just saying, oh, the numbers say this, so this is what it is. I mean, you know, we definitely use the numbers as evidence, and I think that's proper to do. But I, you know, I we didn't live by die for them. I mean, we included guys who didn't necessarily have the strong numbers because we just felt like other things, you know, trump that. And so I feel good that we approached it in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. Yeah, as mentioned, the hashtag OB50, if you have any thoughts on this, if you think we're idiots, who you disagreed with, who you think we definitely missed out. I think that's going to be fun to see guys that people are going to be like, oh my God, you guys didn't even mention him, or like, what about this guy or whatever? Because I'm sure there's going to be guys that, that have very good cases that maybe we just completely overlooked. I think we did a pretty solid idea, you know, job and pretty well got everybody. But I'm sure there's going to be some guys here and there where they're like, hey, look at this guy's case or whatever. And we welcome that. That'll be cool because A, I can learn more about, you know, that guy. And then maybe, you know, the next time we do this in 15 years or whatever, whatever the hell we do it again, we can look at that guy and go, you know what, yeah, I remember when that guy said we should put him on there. So that I have wishful thinking here, Jason.
Sure.
This is gonna be a long thing forever.
Well,
going, so
the NBA, I'm guessing they'll probably do a 75th anniversary team like in 2021. That'd be that would be what they would do. So maybe
should we plan it already?
Can revisit it a little bit then, you know, see where Anthony Davis stacks up or what have you. But it's been fun. I mean, we've gotten some good feedback already. Obviously, I appreciate all your work, Rich, on doing this. I know it was work for both of us, and but it was a lot of fun. And the OB50 OB50 hashtag, if you want to tweet us at Over and Back NBA. Also, we're on Facebook at Over and Back NBA, overandbacknba.com. We also are, of course, our home is harvardparoxysm.com. We are part of the HPB network of podcasts. Appreciate a rating and a review either on our own iTunes feed or on the HB network feed. Either or both would be awesome. That would be a great way. If you've been enjoying the podcast, it's a great way to give back a little bit and give us a rating, review in iTunes and let people know how awesome we are. Hopefully you think we're awesome. If you've been listening to all these episodes today and you don't like us, that's doesn't say much about you or us, I guess. So Rich, I guess that's it.
That's it. It's over.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back again soon.